Hey there, beautiful teachers. Have you heard about our Teacher Turbo Boost event? It's coming up this July 20th and 21st. Really excited for this. That's a weekend, so Saturday and Sunday. And you can now get a ticket to come in person to Cincinnati, Ohio, or to view online if you prefer with a virtual ticket. Visit teacherturboboost.com to learn more.
Vibrant
music teaching.
Proven and practical
tips,
strategies,
and ideas
for music teachers.
You're listening to the Vibrant Music Teaching Podcast. I'm Nicola Canton, and today we're talking about getting the most out of teaching conferences and events. Well, hello there, lovely teachers. I hope you're having a beautiful week. I decided to rebroadcast this episode, which was originally on the YouTube channel just a couple of months ago, because a lot of us are coming up to conference or workshop or event season. A lot of these things tend to be held right at the end or start of the school year or during the summer here in the Northern Hemisphere. So I thought you would enjoy these few tips. There's everything in this spanning from ways to save a little bit of money, ways to not get it overwhelmed, and various things like that. So I hope you'll enjoy, and do let me know what you thought of the episode on Instagram when you're done. We're at Colorful Keys over there. Hello, beautiful teachers, and welcome to another Vibrant Music Teacher Chat, your weekly YouTube show where we talk about all fun things music teaching. So this week we're talking about conferences. Or it can even be workshops, any kind of teacher event that's available to you. I'm going to give you a few tips for how to get more out of these kinds of events. It really could be anything, a networking event, a conference, a workshop. Some of these tips will apply for online things as well. If you're going to be going to a music teacher conference, event, workshop, hangout, anything like that, it always takes a reasonable amount of investment. You're investing your time. Therefore, time you can't teach, time you can't spend doing other things, and your money to go there. A lot of the expenses in a conference are not the conference ticket. The conference ticket can be a fairly substantial cost, depending on what you're attending. But the bigger expenses usually are the accommodation and transport to get there, right? The accommodation is often a huge whack. And we'll talk about that in a second. The transport is going to depend. If you're able to drive to it, obviously it's not that big of a deal. I'm often flying somewhere because I live in Ireland. It's a small island. I normally have to fly to get off it unless I can get a boat to the UK. So the transport is obviously variable. The accommodation, you can use some hacks and things, but in general, it will be a fairly big cost. All that added up means it's a big investment of your time and your money. So you want to make sure you're actually getting the most out of it. And that doesn't necessarily mean just attending every session you possibly can and taking notes on every single detail. There's more that you can get out of it than that. And I do believe it's worth it, but it's worth thinking about how you're going to get the most out of it as well, because it is a big investment. So I'm going to split this into three sections. We're going to talk about practicalities first, then people, and then pedagogy. Okay, so let's start with practicality. Very simple things. First of all, bring a water bottle to refill. This is not to save you money. I don't think I've been to any teacher event where there wasn't free water available, okay? Which is as it should be. Water should be free. So there's usually, you know, tanks of water, like jugs, something that you can get water from. And there's usually little cups beside them. But number one, oh my gosh, the amount of those little plastic cups that you can get through is ludicrous. And you're not going to hang on to the same one all day, probably. So let's avoid all that plastic waste. But also the bigger thing for me is if you only use those plastic cups, you tend to not really drink enough water during the day because you have to like go to that station every time you want to drink water and then it's just a little thing, right? And then you're done with it and then you're busy. You're doing other stuff. So always bring a bottle of water with you or a water bottle with you, and then you can just refill it and you'll have a much bigger quantity that you can carry around. You'll stay hydrated because I don't know if this is just me, but for me anyway, the hotels that these things are usually in, the air conditioning is so drying. So I drink a lot of water in general, but I drink even more water during these things because you have to stay hydrated and alert and take all these things in. You can't get the value out of it if you're just kind of sagging because you haven't been drinking enough water regularly enough. So bring your own bottle. And also consider getting some snacks for your room. I always, since I'm usually flying in, I arrive a little bit before the conference, usually mostly to adjust to the jet lag a little bit before I start meeting people. And then I always find the nearest shop or whatever and go get a few snacks to keep in my room. Most hotel rooms have a fridge. If they don't, you'll have to get non-fridge things, but usually there's a fridge. So I'll get, you know, some like carrot sticks and hummus and different types of snacks and get them into my room right away. This saves you money overall because you don't end up buying one-off things the whole time. It also is just quicker, and that's really important. At a lot of these things, the timetable is really packed, especially these big, like, national conferences and stuff. There's a lot in that timetable. Often the break for lunch, if there is one at all, it's usually also exhibit hall time. So, like, it's your chance to go to the exhibit hall and look at all that fun stuff, and it's your lunchtime. And everyone's getting lunch at the same time. And there's usually like one or two restaurant options. So the queues are ridiculous. You're wasting a lot of time. It's just busy. So if you can have some options in your room, it gives you a lot more flexibility. And it means you won't just sort of like, again, like the water, just let yourself kind of wither throughout the day because you're so busy. And then suddenly you just crash because you have not had anything proper all day. So snacks for the room. If you want to go a step further, like me, you could bring a kettle with you. Now, I've come to learn that a lot of Americans don't know what I mean when I say kettle. So I'm talking about, I can't remember what people normally say, a tea kettle, a hot water majigger. I know they're not as common in the US. They are more recently, but I'm talking about something that you plug in to heat water up. I always bring my travel kettle with me. So it's a silicone kettle. I should have brought it here to show you. But anyway, it's a little silicone kettle. So it folds down. So it folds to about like that size. It's like the size of a small plate, a side plate. And then it's not very deep because it's kind of folded down. And I bring that with me and I bring a little coffee maker. I have the kind that you just, it's like two plastic parts and you just put it together. So it acts like a French press, but it's kind of a travel portable one. This might sound ridiculous, and if you're not as extreme with your coffee, that is fine. But if you're like me, you kind of need to have your coffee at the regular times, like in the morning and in the afternoon. Having an option to have coffee in your room is great. A lot of hotel rooms, in the States especially, they'll have those Keurigs, are they called, the coffee makers, but they give you like a couple of pods for them. And the coffee isn't great, and it's not really enough. My big issue is not just paying for the coffee because it costs way too much money if you go buy it. It's that often the places aren't open when I'm up because I'm an early riser anyway, and then I've got jet lag. So I want to have my coffee when I want it. So that's just if you want to go a step further. But I have found that having the kettle there means I can get like little instant soups or instant oatmeal, different things that you can get that you just need to add water to. So it gives you a lot more options in terms of snacks in your room or lunches from your room. And you can always go and get the lunch and then bring it out, right? You don't have to be a social recluse about it. Okay, and then finally on the practicalities. No, two more things on the practicalities. The first one is try not to stay too far away. Now, if you do need to save some money, I get it. The hotel where the conference is normally really expensive. It is. I have always found it to be worth it to stay at that hotel because it's the running into different people that you want. So you do want to be around the conference area as much as possible because you'll just meet people and you'll have, you know, impromptu lunches and whatever. And if you're staying kind of far away and just getting a taxi over or whatever, or getting the bus, whatever the situation may be, you'll tend to just come for the conference time. And that's not actually all there is to it. A lot of the hanging out time is really important too. So a lot of teachers will team up with someone if they want to save a bit of money and have a roommate. and still stay in the conference hotel or a hotel that's very close, but have a roommate. And a lot of these hotels have two double beds or like two queen size beds in the room. It's very easy. It's not like you're sharing a bed with someone, and you can often find a teacher to do that with. So that's what I did at my first conferences. And it can work out great if you don't mind having a roommate and you want to be at that hotel. Yeah, Carrie, there are. They're really fun. It's silicon and you just pack it up. So it's really handy for people like me who like to travel and still have hot water available. I've turned a few people onto them at this stage at these conferences. Okay, finally, in terms of practicality, make sure you have a bit of space in your bag, okay? So the exhibit hall is going to be full of stuff. Now, have a bit of space in your bag, but not too much, because you don't want to get carried away. You can often get really great deals in the exhibit hall. So if you have a list of like books you want to pick up anyway, that's great. If you're just browsing, just every time you pick something up, ask yourself, which of my students could I use this with in the next 3 months? And if the answer is no one, because this is like several levels above any of my students' level, and it's not something you want to play yourself or whatever the case may be, just put it back down. Maybe take a photo if you're like, I want to remember it for later. Fine. But don't pick up too much stuff that you can't actually use with your students, but definitely take advantage of those deals and have a bit of space in your bag if you can. I normally can't do this one. Again, I'm normally taking the smallest suitcase, the kind that goes in a carry-on when I can. So I can't get anything at these things. But if you do want to, make sure you have some space for that. Okay, that's the practicalities, few tips there. Second section is about people. And this is the one that I really want to get across, especially to those who think they're going to a conference just to get information. Because here's the thing, you can get all this information online. The great thing about conference information is you might go to things you wouldn't otherwise go to, and it's a bit of serendipity in that way, and that's great. But really, you're there to be with other teachers. That is the main point. And even if you're introverted, like me, you can still manage to do this in a way that really feeds your teacher life, right? Few tips for making sure you actually connect with people while you're there, especially if you're going alone. And please don't be afraid to go alone, because I have done it. The first time I did it, it was very intimidating for me, but I instantly made friends with people, found people to chat to, found people were so friendly. Just think about it. Have you met many music teachers who are grumps, who don't want to talk to anyone, who are rude? In general, we're a pretty friendly bunch, and especially the people that come to these conferences are friendly. They're ready to chat to you. So it's not like you're going onto a public bus and expecting to strike up conversations with people. You have a natural common interest. Everybody is there to connect with other teachers. It's not that scary. So with that in mind, you're there to meet other people, maybe make some lifelong teacher friends, right? So here's the first thing. I want you to put this down. It's really tempting when you're in a social situation where you're a bit nervous, and if you're not super extroverted, you're just feeling a bit like, oh, I'm here alone and everybody else knows someone, which isn't true, but it can feel true. It's tempting to put your phone in front of your face and have that as the thing you're doing so that people don't feel like you're alone. It's not like awkward. But when look at it from the outside, if you go into one of these rooms and everybody's sitting, you know, in theater style seats, laid out seating, and you sit in the middle of a row, and to one side, there's someone who's staring at their phone. And to the other side, there's someone who's just looking around the room. Who are you going to think that you can strike up a conversation with? Not the one looking at their phone. You think, oh, they're busy. They're doing something. So don't just sit there scrolling Instagram or like looking at old text threads or texting your bestie back home or whatever. Because that's going to make it even less likely that you have people to make you not want to look at your phone the next time. Does that make sense? You need to look up and look around. Teachers are very friendly, absolutely. Laura said, I went to MTNA alone last year and quickly made friends, and I do tend to be on the shy side. Yes. Look, it's easier than you think. I know it's intimidating. I know it can be scary, but please don't just stare at your phone. Like, feel free to disappear back to your room, but when you're out, try and be open. I mean, disappear back to your room when you need a minute by yourself, that's fine. But when you're out in those rooms and, like, you're sitting waiting for a talk to start, try and be open. Maybe leaf through your program or something rather than burying your head in your phone, because that just says, I don't want to talk to you, to everyone around you. Stay open to the room as much as you can. Make eye contact with people. Smile. You might be surprised how easy it is to strike up a conversation and make friends that you can hang out with for the conference or in future, forever. Who knows? Now, to make that a little bit easier, the whole striking up a conversation, getting to know people thing, we're actually doing something really fun this year. So we have the Vibrant Music booth there. Also, make sure you do come to the hangouts, any hangouts of things you like. So for instance, we are doing a very casual hangout ourselves at Vibrant Music. You don't have to be a Vibrant Music member. You could just have read a blog post once. You could have seen this video for the first time. I don't care. But if you come along, most of the people there will be interested in Vibrant Music teaching stuff, Colorful Keys stuff. So they'll be into teaching creatively. They'll probably be teachers quite like you in many ways. So that is going to be on the Sunday, which is the first day of the proper conference at MTNA. And it is in the late afternoon, early evening, 5 p.m. I think I made it. So it's kind of the end of the first day and we're going to go to the hotel bar. You don't have to drink alcohol to be there. You don't even have to get water. I don't care. It's just a place to meet. It does so happen also that the first day, the day we're doing the meetup, is St. Patrick's Day. So you extra have to come because I need people to hang out with on St. Patrick's Day. I mean, you wouldn't leave me hanging, right? St. Patrick's Day is, of course, the Irish national holiday, and 17th of March falls on that first Sunday of the conference, which is really fun. So yeah, I hope you'll come to that if you're coming to MTNA. But my broader point is, if you're going to anything like this, and especially the bigger events, find out about these little meetups that are happening and go to them. Yes, you might be on your own. The other people are there because they want to chat to people like you, right? You have a natural opening where it's been an open invitation. Like, a lot of us will do this. Podcasts you listen to or blogs you read or different people like that will do these kind of meetups, and everyone is welcome. And anyone who's there is going to be friendly to you. Like, you know they're going to be. You know it's not like, oh, the person next to you might not want to chat. But these people have come to an area because they want to have a conversation. So definitely go to those. Try to make the most of the event in that way. All of these things are to say, reach out to other people. That's why you're there in person. That's why this isn't an online conference. Because the information could pretty much as easily be given to you in an online format. But you wouldn't be in a room with other people who do the same thing you do. And there's magic in that. Okay, finally the pedagogy. So let's talk about the information, because that's important too. I would recommend planning before you go, as in take a look at the program before you go. I often am a bit last minute on this just because I can't decide and stuff, but I'll often download it or like screenshot it if it's not downloadable, and look at it on the plane on the way there just to select things. Because if you're at a multi-track conference like this, you might think, oh, I'll just decide as I go. It is so hard to decide as you go. Don't know if anyone else finds that, but whenever I say that, I go to something random because I'm just, by the time, it seems like there's a break between these sessions, right? It looks like there's 15 minutes. By the time you finish up the conversation you were having with the person beside you at the last session, so that's like 5 minutes of it, and then you grab your stuff and whatever, and then you have like a few minutes to decide what you're going to go see next, because then you have to get there and it might not be the room next door. So decide before you go. I normally just like circle one thing for each slot to have a default option. That doesn't mean I stick to those. It's just so that I have it set up so that I have a decision made. And I, if I'm like running late or I don't know what to do, I'll just look at my program and say, okay, I decide to go to that. Grant. But I am also open, because a lot of the time when I get there and I'm chatting to whoever I'm chatting to, they have seen something in one of those sessions that I didn't see. So like we read the same title and little session description, but yet one of my friends will say to me, oh, I'm definitely going to this one because it's about this. And to me, it didn't seem like it was about that at all, which might sound a bit dim, but it does happen to all of us. And they say it, I'm like, oh, I guess it is. I didn't see it that way. Or they might say, oh, I'm going to this because I've seen them present before and I love their sessions. And I wouldn't have known if I don't know that person. So I plan, but then I am open to changes. As you go through the conferences, the conference, definitely take notes. You'll find if it's one of your first conferences, you'll take loads of notes. And then as you go to more of these kinds of things, you'll take fewer notes. Like now, for most sessions, I really only write a few bullet points most of the time. Sometimes it's more in depth, but most of the time it's, oh, this is a nugget of an idea that I haven't thought about in that way before. So I take notes as I go, but also keep an action list, like a short list, or if you want to be super VMT about it, you can call it your J-dot list. Because what you're trying to do is come up with the things that you're really going to take action on. If you were to just do one thing or just a few things from this conference, what would those be? And don't just keep those as you go. Keep a separate page. So like maybe if you're using a notebook, it's a sheet in the back of the notebook that you use as your top list, like top ideas, J-dots, action list, whatever you want to call it. Because then at the end, when you go back home, you can just look at that action list, especially if you're feeling a bit buzzy and overwhelmed after the conference. You just look at that action list and say, okay, which one of those can I do right away? Daniel said, as an off-the-charts introvert, I've never braved the conference meetups affair. I hereby resolve to do better. Not able to attend NTNA this year. Yeah, well, if you're at a future one, Daniel, please, and like, if we're there, hopefully we will be, we'll do some kind of meetup. Normally, by the way, I go for a coffee because I often feel like that's... Anyway, I often prefer to do like a morning coffee, but there's no half days at MTNA. It starts at 9 a.m. the first day, so there's no space really to do that because I don't want to clash with any sessions, obviously. So keep your action list, and then when you go home, review your notes when you feel ready, and just try not to get overwhelmed, because I think this is a lot of this issue of overwhelm is actually how you go into the conference. So if you go into the conference saying, I'm here to make connections with other teachers, to enjoy like experiencing this, and to take a few things that are going to tweak my teaching in different ways, that way you will have success. If you say to yourself, I'm going to use all the ideas from all the sessions, or like I need to use at least 50% of the sessions I attend or something, you're not going to be successful. That's too much change too fast. And that's really not the point. It's missing the point of the conference. So if you have any questions, do let me know. But those are my main tips. So I'll just run through them briefly again before we wrap up. First of all, practicalities. Make sure you have snacks for your room, little bits and pieces that you can go grab so that it's super quick. Bring your own bottle to refill so you're not using all those little plastic cups. Try not to stay too far away. If you can't stay in the conference hotel, fair enough, but try and be close by. Perhaps consider getting a roommate so that you can split the cost a little bit there. And leave space in your bag if you're planning to buy resources to bring back. But sort of have a planned amount of space to put a limit on yourself. Difficult if you're driving, I know. You could buy the whole, right? You could buy one item of everything from the whole haul. But try to have a plan for what you're going to do with those things when you come back. Don't look at your phone when you're waiting in sessions, because that is an automatic block to getting people to start a conversation with you. If I see someone on their phone, I think they don't want to talk to me. And I'm not offended, but I'm also not going to go interrupt them on their phone and try to make friends with them, because that's really awkward. Whereas if someone is looking around the room, catching my eye, you might have a little, oh yeah, you excited for this session? And that might strike up some more conversation from there. Make sure you go to those kinds of hangouts because they are so valuable. And in terms of the actual sessions, take notes as you go, but also keep an action list or a J-dot list that are things that you really want to take action on right away when you go home. Hope these tips have been useful, everybody. And I hope you have a fabulous week ahead. Next week, we're talking about the question, what would this look like if it were easy when it comes to beginner students? So I hope you'll join me back here for that. And in the meantime, have a fabulous week. Bye for now, everyone. If you liked this episode, you would absolutely love Vibrant Music Teaching Membership. We have the support and the training you need to take your teaching further. Join us today by going to vmt.ninja and signing up. Don't forget to go grab your Teacher Turbo Boost ticket at teacherturboboost.com.